There we go. Now we're talking about Christmas. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. You know, if you live in the United States, especially in the South, that Christmas is a big deal. We've been celebrating this. If you really think about it, around the world, there's over 2 billion people. There are billions of people that celebrate Christmas. And as they should, as we should, right? We should focus on what happened 2,000 years ago. And here, this is just a Christmas scene that I sort of like it. And it shows some of the elements that we relate to Christmas. And today I want to talk about it. This is the surprise. I want to talk about the Mary connection. You know, it's interesting when you read the accounts of the accounts of Jesus' birth and what happened before his birth. I believe everything in there was specifically put there by God. But a lot of the images that we have for Christmas are a little misleading, okay? Listen, I don't know if you've been watching The Chosen. It's a really good... They made the New Testament in another movie. They've had hundreds through the years. But this one, The Chosen, is on. And this is The Chosen. They had a Christmas special. And that's their idea of Mary and her husband Joseph. And this is a very realistic look. And if you watch the movie about this, you'll know that they're on their way. She's 9 months pregnant. She's a young teenager. They're not even real clean. It's like when you look at their clothing, they were poor. And I just want you to know that this light that God sent into the world through Mary came at one of the darkest moments in history. I mean, since the flood, when God and everybody but Noah's family was destroyed, since the flood, the world had never been as dark as it was 2,000 years ago during the Roman Empire. Go study history. The Roman Empire were cruel, they were violent, they ruled the whole known world at that time. And they could do anything to anybody at any time. I mean, they demanded a census be taken. And it didn't matter if you were 9 months pregnant, you still had to go do it. And by the way, they could take you, they could kill you, they could do anything they want to you. Mary and Joseph were in Jerusalem, they were in Israel, which was occupied by the Romans. And they were basically slaves to the Romans. They had no rights. If you were a Roman citizen, you had no rights. Anybody that's a Roman citizen, any soldier, could do anything to you and your family they wanted to. They could take anything they wanted. And this was the situation. And not only that, when Mary, if you wanted to think about the least in the world at that time, the Jewish people were. They were looked on as nothing in the world. And in the Jewish community, if you were a woman, one of their popular sayings was, and because the Jewish people felt like everybody in the world that wasn't Jewish, the Gentiles, they were just like worthless. And the Jewish people were special. But they had a saying about women, because women didn't count. In their world, in the Roman world, in the Greek world, in the Jewish world, women did not count. The Jewish people would say this, I would rather be a Gentile dog than a woman. That's where women were looked at. And Mary, young teenage girl, she had nothing in her life that said she mattered, that she made a difference, that she had any value or any self-worth. And God chose something. And I want you to begin to see something. You see, I call this the Mary connection. And I want to read both accounts about Jesus' birth, with one out of Luke and the other one's out of Matthew. And I want to point out some things. And I want you to see something here. I want you to understand something. What made a difference in the least of the least of the least of the least in their world? In the world. Now today, of course, we put Mary on a pedestal, right? Like some parts of Christianity actually say she was divine. She had no sin. And all of us think she was the best mother that ever lived. And we have these wonderful pictures of her. I was glad The Chosen actually showed probably what she really was like. And it was hard. It was hard. They were hungry. And she was 9 months pregnant, and she's about to deliver a baby within 12 hours, and she's riding that donkey, trying to get to somewhere to have the baby. What was it about Mary? So I just want you to read this passage with me, and it's Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? She was a virgin. You notice God just points out all these details. All that meant was that when you get pregnant and you're not married yet, you are a fill in the blank. It's not good. What Dr. Luke was telling us is that, have you ever been called names? Actually, I talked about that with somebody this morning. It's not fun for somebody to call you names. Mary was called names from day one. When she said yes, they started calling her stuff, putting her down, judging her, belittling her. That's what it was like that day. And he points it out. Luke points it out. Listen, she was a virgin, pledged to be married. She wasn't married yet. And she was a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. For us, it's a wonderful name. It wasn't wonderful in her town. It wasn't wonderful with her family and her friends and neighbors. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. She was terrified. She was terrified because she didn't feel like she was favored. She could give you 1,000 reasons why she wasn't as good as the other people, why she wasn't anything special, why nothing good was expected out of her life. She had no expectations. That way she wouldn't be disappointed. And the angel said, "You're greatly favored." And she's like, it terrified her. It just scared her to death. And she wondered what kind of greeting this could be. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Now this is the kicker. "You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. And he'll be great. And he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will never end." How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." You get no credit for this, Mary. Being a Jewish person in Israel, there's nothing about this, Mary. This will be, the glory will go to God. The glory will go to Him. He'll be called the Son of God. And then he said, "Even your Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age." I mean, she probably was at least 40. I don't know how old she was. But she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. And I, in my mind, I say it in the King James Version because that's how I first learned this story, first heard it. "Be it unto me according to thy word." You see, this morning I want you to know something. That the future of the world hinges upon you and I, people like us, normal people, people with problems, people with history, people just like Mary, people who've been called names and given labels and put down and accused of horrible things. It hinges upon our ability to say, "Be it unto me." You see, today, the Lord is looking off across the earth for somebody who will say, be it unto me. And that day he found a young woman, a teenage girl, in the worst of the worst of the worst circumstances. And nothing God did was by accident. He gave out all these details because every single detail was important. Because God wanted to show you and me for all of history that the same thing that happened to the least of the least of the least can happen to us when we say, be it unto me. And when you say that, the glory of God and the power of God overshadows you. And you can have the same thing happen inside of you that Mary had inside of her. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Christ. But Jesus is looking for children today. You know, it's when I read this and I look at that, I think about some things. This was the perfect time in history. Mary having an encounter with God. And through that encounter, conceiving through the power of the Holy Spirit, was about to have a son. Now, it hadn't happened yet. Christmas is next weekend. But I'll tell you what God wants today. He's looking for people like us that are small, that are insignificant, that are unknown, that even maybe have a hard life and a hard history and may be dominated by the worst powers in the world. He's looking for someone who will say the same thing that little girl said. And I can't even imagine the terror of she went through to say that, because in her day, if you got pregnant and you weren't married, they stoned you to death like a dog. And she said, God, be it unto me. And when she did that, everything changed. You see, just like Mary, you are in the perfect place, the perfect family, the perfect stage, the perfect time of all of history to have encounters with Him. There's never been another you. No one else can ever say, God, take my heart, because you're the only one that has your heart. There's never a better time. There'll never be a good time. As a matter of fact, the darker it is, the more God wants to plant His seed in us, because His seed planted in us produces light. And listen, we live in a world that needs light. Every single family in this room that's representative needs light. There's people in your family that need it. There's neighbors that need it. There's businesses that need it. The government needs it. The world needs the light. And you know who the light of the world is? Jesus Christ. And you know what He said? You are the light of the world too. And you know how you become the light? You do the same thing Mary did. When Jesus comes to you, you open your inner being to Him. And you say, God, be it unto me. And that's what Mary did. And it takes courage. You're the perfect one to bear God's children today on earth. You were created for this, just like Mary. And it's the same thing is happening today. Listen, and every time, and you've heard me say this because it's the whole power of the gospel is right here. Every time you give yourself to the Lord, every time you open up, you say, God, yes. Then that connection turns into conception. And there's a baby coming. Now, it may not be here yet. It may take time. You know, I believe as God was perfectly right in this, He planted that seed in Mary, and it took 9 months before Jesus came. I think that was symbolic. A lot of you, God's given you a promise. He's given you a seed. He's given you a call, a passion, a desire. You have actually done it, and you're upset because you haven't seen the baby yet. Listen. God's timing is always perfect. Give it time and you will. Give it time and you will get pregnant. And if you give it time, you will give birth. But it takes time. And God's the one who's behind it. And every detail in your life, past, present, and future, God has taken care of. God, it was the perfect moment in history when Mary conceived. When she connected with God that night and the Holy Spirit came upon her and she conceived the Son, it was the perfect time in history. None of us would have picked that time for our son. we would have seen the outcome of what was about to happen and we would have bailed. She didn't. It was the perfect time. And you know, I want you to know this. God wins. God wins. Period. You see, there's everything in the world is coming against you. Everything in the world, the facts and the history and everything you can see is saying God's losing. But I want to tell you something. God's seed is supernatural and it's unstoppable and He wins. It's the faith that we stand on. That's why 2,000 years later, there's billions of people celebrating the birth of one young girl who said, "Be it unto me." And we still are celebrating His birth. You see, the truth is, God does win. And God's going to win in your life if you persevere and you don't give up. And you have to believe, right? Because God's the source. If you go and you look at Matthew's account of this, it just says over and over again that God's the source. This is all God. What happened to Mary was all God. It was all dependent upon Him. And He gets the glory. Now, we get to do like Mary did. In that very small little passage in Luke, we saw Mary made a decision to trust and believe and have faith in what God was saying. And you and I are in the same place today. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy uses everything in his power to stop you from believing. That's where the battle is. You see, it's interesting to me. I think back and I'm like, okay, we know the devil tried to kill Jesus. He had all the little boys, 2 and under, killed in all that region. And the devil tried to kill Jesus. But you know what? The devil couldn't kill Mary. If he could have, he would have. He couldn't. God had His hand on her. You see, the devil cannot stop you. He can't stop you. But you can choose to not believe that what He's put in you is going to change the world. The light He put inside of you is the same light that He put inside of Mary. That's why Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think our world is trying to convince us to say, so focused on the amazing, it's changed the whole world when Mary said, "Be it unto me." And He wants us to focus on that so much so that we forget about God wants that to happen to us. Jesus said, guys, I am going to heaven. I'm going to sit at the right hand of my Father, ruling and reigning until you make all of my enemies a footstool under my feet. Well, you know how that happens? Every time you say to God, "Be it unto me, be it unto me." Every time you say that, God plants a seed in you. Every time you connect with Him, you're going to conceive. And when you conceive, you will have a child. You'll give birth. And that's the light of the world. And I want to tell you how that happens. You see, I know it's a little risque, probably. I don't think you'll hear this anywhere else today besides here. Connection always leads to conception. There, I just gave sex education 101. Right? There are any teenagers in here? I don't think so. Shelby, you're the closest we got. Shelby, oh, you already have 2 kids. You know. Oh, my granddaughter. God bless you. Jennifer. Where's Jennifer? Help her. It's just true. And we want to look back to Mary's connection, and we forget it's about us. Jesus left so that we could connect. That's why He came. That's why He left. So that you and I can have the same relationship with God that Mary had. And I'll prove it to you, right? Okay, first I want to talk about this word, be. I looked that word up in Greek, genomai or something. I can't say it properly. But it's funny, when I looked that word up, the very first thing this fancy theological dictionary thing that I have says, the very first thing it says is, this word has little theological interest in the New Testament. My jaw dropped. I'm like, whoever wrote that has bought into what the devil's been trying to convince us of for 2,000 years. The devil wants you to believe that Mary is different than you. And guys, she said yes. She was a little teenage girl. She wasn't perfect. She was human. And she said, "Be it unto me." And it changed the world forever. That birth that we're celebrating on Christmas Day changed the world forever. Actually, the world changed the moment she conceived. You mamas know about that. It changes when you conceive. That just is true. Well, that word, genomai, it means to come into being or to exist, to be born. It's the word for Genesis in Scripture. It's the first. It's something, it literally means something newly created that has never existed before. And it's something Mary said, "Be," what she said was, "God, when you come into me, something new is going to be born." And his name was Jesus. You see, it is significantly important. As a matter of fact, here's another place that word's used. John chapter 3. I just want to remind you, it's not Christmas yet. Today, I'm not talking about the birth. I'm talking about the conception and the connection with Him. That's what it's all about. It's not about us just focusing on 2,000 years ago. It's about where you're going to live this afternoon. Where you're going to live tonight. Where you're going to live tomorrow. Where are you going to do it? And connection leads to conception. I actually wrote that down. That's a little embarrassing, but I won't say it. And here's that word again. Jesus was talking and he said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Same word, genomai. Oh, nobody can see the kingdom unless they've had this conception, this connection with God. Nope. You can't understand Scripture without connecting with God. You can't serve in supernatural ways. You can't change, bring light into the darkness without connecting with God. It's through that connection that the Holy Spirit comes over us and empowers us to change the world. And that's just true. It's just absolutely true. So I think it's sort of crazy that they said that term has no theological significance. It has everything to do with the gospel and the power of God being released on earth today. Without that happening, without being, there is no Christ in Christmas. Y'all know when that thing when people kept wanting to go Xmas, and we all of us conservative Christians got real excited about that. You can't take the Christ out of Christmas. You can't take the Christ out of Sistrus. Every time you don't realize that you giving yourself to God releases the Christ on earth again today, you're taking Christ out of Christmas. Now, it doesn't say don't take Jesus out of Christmas. Jesus was a man that was born 2,000 years ago when Mary said, "Be it unto me." He's looking, the Christ part of Jesus was the Holy Spirit coming upon him and moving into the world. That happens when we say, "Be it unto me." And so you see, I don't want to take Christ out of Christmas. I don't want to deny the power of God working inside of the world through me every time I say, "Yes, be it unto me." And I'm not taking credit for it. It's Him being. And every time you stop and by faith you believe and you trust that God can change the world through you, you're saying, "Be it unto me too." And you know what? God takes this little tiny seed and He plants it inside of you. Because everything in the kingdom works through the seed principle. And you become a part of the life that God had planned on bringing into the world. He knew Jesus was coming. Mary said yes. You couldn't stop that light. And now Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden." And every time, guys, I'm going to tell you, you've been the light so much recently. Every time, like I was just the angel tree. 51 residents gave these very interesting desires they had for Christmas. And you know what? The staff at Spring Creek, we've done it before. They trusted us that we would give them the things they desired. And so you guys, 51 residents are getting gifts. Amen? Come on, Tim, you're right. And you know what the truth is? When you looked at that card, that angel, and you said yes, you said B. And I know it. Maybe it's just Cokes, or maybe it's candy, or maybe it's whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how small the seed is. God knows something about seeds. He said, listen, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The smallest seed in the garden that grows into a great tree. Now, that's supernatural. When you bought those Cokes, when you bought that CD player, when you bought that 5XXXXX triple extra large sweatsuit, when you bought it, it doesn't matter if it cost a dollar, that's a seed. It's a seed. And you said, I'll bring Christ to earth. And you did. Thank you, guys. 51 residents get amazing stuff. We're going to take it to them this week, so it's good. And then also, our month of giving. We decided, sort of in a funny way, but we wanted to support Grace Community Church in Ward, a church Del Medlin started years ago. And he's gone now. He lives in Little Rock, but their church is still going on. They've been feeding people every Tuesday night, and I didn't know for how long. I didn't know how many people they fed. They've been doing it since 2012. And they provide these hot meals in styrofoam containers in the parking lot. They have guys with those little flashlights, and they want to direct you. And I drove up there, and I took them the money, and I said, you know, God, we gave them a little over $2,000. We don't have any extra money. I mean, y'all look at this room. We used to have 350 people in here. But you know what? We believe that what they're doing is important. We want to help. So whether you gave a dollar to that or you gave $1,000 to it, it doesn't matter. It's a seed where you said, God, be it unto me. And you did something. And God, here they sent me a letter. And they said, please relay our appreciation to your congregation for the generous gift to the food ministry at Grace Community and Ward. This gift will enable us to trade in our freezer that's been waiting on parts forever. They need a new freezer. They feed a lot of people. And since the beginning of the food ministry in 2012, we have served 157,813 meals. Thank you. They just said thank you. Isn't that crazy? A little church in Ward has served 150,000 hot meals to people. And we got to give a little bitty part of that. Just a little part. But I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you about we did. We just gave them $2,000. It's in Ward. You can go help them. Zoe works there. You know, Zoe comes here. She works every Sunday morning now. But she works there on Tuesday nights. They always need help. They have a team of people that do it. But guys, it's wonderful. You see, that's what brings the kingdom of God to earth, is when you and I don't just look back, and we want to lift up Mary, we want to exalt what happened 2,000 years ago, but the truth is, we've changed the world today by us living the same life that she lived, and we say, be it unto me, God, be it unto me. And God may put something big in your heart. He may put something small in your heart. It doesn't matter, because it's supernatural seed. You know, years ago, right? I'm not going to read y'all can read the account of Matthew, read to your family. Years ago, God made a promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, in Genesis 12, you see, because Jesus' birth, Mary's conception is fulfillment, the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise he made to Abraham, the father of our faith. If you're living by sight and by facts and by concrete stuff, then you're not a child of Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham had no children. Matter of fact, he had nothing. God said to him, Abram, go from your country, go from your people, go from your father's household to the land I will show you. And God said, if you'll respond by faith to what I'm putting in your heart, if you'll say, Abraham, be unto me as you say. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You see what happens? You give a dollar, you give a thousand, you give time, you give, this week when you travel, when you go see people, you feel like, you know, I feel like God wants me to be really positive and encouraging when I'm with this family member. I think maybe I need to buy them a gift. Maybe I should go and take care of their kids. I don't know how God wants you to give and to be, but He puts something in your heart. Every time you say, be it unto me, that thing, that little seed takes on supernatural proportions, and mustard bushes, they're only this tall. But when God put His hands on that seed, it became the biggest tree in the whole garden. And angels rested in its canopy. Birds flocked to it. You see, God wants to make you into a great nation. And you're thinking, well, I'm nobody. Perfect. You're thinking, well, I have a reputation, even better. You're thinking, well, even my physical body, this is hard. Everything in the world is against me. I can't do this. Yes. Look, you're in Mary's territory now. You're where she was at. And all she had was one thing, faith. She believed that angel. Her who had never seen an angel before. Like, how did she even know it was an angel? But she believed what God put in her heart. And all the promises, she held on to them. Even when everything was going to hell in a handbasket, she believed. And I believe God said to Abraham. Now, you know, He said, listen what He said. Here's what Paul said in Galatians 3:16. So some of you are going through this in your mind. You're like, yeah, but I'm not Jesus. You're saying that I know, you're not Mary. There's only one Mary. And she can have the only Lord. Well, you know what? There's only one you. So if you're not saying, be it unto me, then their world is missing out on the light that God has only created to be released through you. So the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say unto seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. Well, Alan, why are you trying to tell us to be like Mary? Because it's just, there's only one Christ. Well, look what Paul said, if you read the whole chapter, verse 26, 10 verses later, Paul said, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. You're not Jesus, but you clothe yourself with Christ. That's the anointing power of the Holy Spirit is on you, the same as it was on Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He's basically saying all of us are the same. It doesn't matter how big your seed is or how little your seed is. It doesn't matter your history. It doesn't matter your future. It doesn't matter. Because you're all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You see, Christmas needs to change. We need to celebrate Christmas. Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to celebrate Mary and Jesus' birth. But don't forget that you were created to have the seed. That you're heirs of God just like Christ. And guys, every time this Christmas, every time over the next week that you pause, that you hesitate, for me it really is. What a small thing. I mean, you know what I'm looking for, really? My expectation for today? If just one of you believe, just anybody in this room, anybody watching online, anybody on the podcast, whatever, if just one of you believes and takes a step of faith and believes, and you say, be it unto me, I believe that God's going to plant a seed inside of you that's going to change the world. Now, He wants it for all of us. It takes us all to be a city set on a hill. And guys, I want to do my part, but I want you to do your part. I want us all to come together. And this is what Jesus said this. heaven's kingdom realm, not the earthly realm, kingdom, can be compared to the tiny mustard seed that a man takes and plants in his field. And although it's the smallest, it eventually grows into the greatest of garden plants, becoming a tree. And birds come to build their nest in its branches. It attracts the angelic realm. Listen, everything in the world, everything the enemy can do is trying to convince you that you don't matter. He's trying to convince you that you are those things that people call you. He's trying to convince you it's too late, that you haven't done enough. He's trying to convince you that you're not Mary. Well, you're not. She would envy you because you were born after Christ rose from the dead. You're not Mary, but you have a spot inside of your heart that is ready to receive the seed. And when you do that, then it's all up to Him. You just hold on. It's going to happen. Our gift to God. You know, for years I can't get off of it. Almost every Christmas I'm like, listen, I want you to go out and be the gift. You know, we would give you ideas. We would tell you things you could do. You know, Grace Fellowship, let's be the gift. And that is true. We are the gift. But the gift we give is the gift of ourselves. It's not the gifts. It's when, just like Mary, when she received, when she said yes to God, that gift was planted in her, and it did more than she could have ever dreamed. And guys, every time you respond to God, He releases the power of the Holy Spirit in you and through you into our world. You see, we give ourselves to Him, then He be in us. With a bigger definition of be than we've ever understood. It means a lot more than we ever dreamed it was. So I can't escape this. I've seen a deal. You know, the Catholic Church, everything in this world is trying to say you're not special. That Mary was different. Everything. That Jesus was different. Everything's doing that. I remember years ago you would study, and I've never been one of the denominations in the world. They did their services in Latin and did it for like 1,000 years, right? And then a few years ago, they decided to start doing their services in language that people could actually understand, the common guy could understand, so you didn't have to know Latin anymore. Well, right now, there's a debate going on. They want to go back to Latin. And that just bugs me, because Mary couldn't speak Latin. God is after the common guys, the common women, the common men who will just say yes. That's who He wants. And when we say you have to be special, when you say Mary was special, then you're taking all of us out of the equation, because we know we're not special. It's almost like one of my pet peeves is when I read things or hear people say, especially when someone passes away and goes to be with the Lord, they'll say things like, oh, you know, Lisa, she was just an angel sent from God, and we had her for a little while. And they'll talk about people that are with Jesus like they were angels, as if that was an admirable thing. It's not. We weren't sent here to worship angels. Or to be angels? You were sent here to be inhabited by the very Christ of God. Angels never do that. You see, don't let anybody demean you and make you less than you are. Because if you don't believe it, you won't do it. And today, I want to encourage you. This Christmas season, let's make a decision. You know what I want you to do? Believe. Every time you respond to that thing in your heart that the Lord puts, you're saying, be it unto me. Be it unto me. And God's do it. I want you to believe. Have faith. Trust that God will do what He says. And so when you give, no matter how small, when you serve, no matter how small, every thought, when every time you say, be it unto me, in our vernacular, we used to call it connecting with God. You know, in a couple of weeks, Tim's going to be sharing about communion because we believe there's so much more about that. But I think connection, relationship, conception, communion, every way you connect with God opens up the door for Him to plant a seed inside of you by faith. And then that seed is regulated by God Himself. And nobody can stop it. So everything you do is important. I want you to do that. I want you to think that way. God, you want to use me? You want to have children in this world through me? Yes. It's because Jesus was the seed. You're part of the many-membered seed. And God births life through you every time you do it. And it's a step of faith. And the truth is, that day there was a light that was born into the world. Well, Mary didn't do anything. Oh, yes, she did. She said, be it unto me. That's what we do. Then God does everything else. And guess who gets the glory? He does. So let's all be like Mary. And let God use us to bring light into our world. And you do it all the time. You've done it through the angel tree. You did it through the month of giving. You do it through serving your family. You do it through kind words, gentleness. You do it through giving. You do it through serving. You give it 1,000 different ways. And every time you do it, God takes a seed. And He just needs a seed, a tiny one. Because that seed is supernatural. And that's what God wants to do today in us. So this Christmas, I want us not to get focused on the past in exclusion to the future. Because guess what? Next Saturday, we're celebrating His birth. It's not Christmas yet. She's still pregnant. I mean, in the picture, in the movie. Until next Saturday, we celebrate His birth. Connection always leads to conception in the best of ways. So I want you to remember that. The Mary connection is also our connection. That's our purpose, is to connect with Him. So this, y'all are doing great. You really are. I'm amazed that it's like when you give cookies, there's so many different ways you're doing it. You just need to believe. And when you believe, it becomes supernatural. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand up. We're going to let... I'm going to take communion up here, and we are. Pastor Tim's going to be teaching on communion the first Sunday of the New Year's. And then, of course, Christmas Eve, we take communion with the candlelight service together. And it's a big deal. Our prophetic team sets up the table each week, and they look for words. Today it was love. That means God wants to create love inside of you when you connect with Him. And communion is one way we connect. It's about His blood and His body. And it has so much depth, I don't know that we'll ever fully understand. There's more to the communion than we know. So I thank the prophetic team for going to that trouble. Thank you guys for participating. Every time we gather, we're going to have communion set up. And you get to take it before service, during worship, during the ministry time, after service. It's there for you to participate in that. And let God speak to you, okay? So let's just bow our heads, if you don't mind. Jesus, we say You're worth it. That God, You loved the world so much that You gave Your Son. And God, I just thank You for the picture that Mary gives us, that she gave herself to You. And God, she set an example for all of eternity of what happens whenever we humans give ourselves to You. So God, we just want to give You us. God, I ask that today, that miracle would happen again. Where one of us humans would open ourselves up and say yes to you. And you'd plant that seed inside of us. Today, God. God, we believe. So let me just take a second and ask the Lord personally. Every one of us do it, if you will, you know, if you want to. Ask the Lord what seed He wants to plant inside of you during this Christmas season. So Jesus, would you show each one of us what seed you want to plant inside of us during this season? God, would you just give us faith to believe? Just help our unbelief, God. And God, we anticipate the birth of the child. That something concrete, something real is going to happen. So if you're on the ministry team for today, would you come up? And if you have any kind of prayer needs, anything you want to share, if you want to take communion, if you want a word from the Lord, these guys will be up here to pray with you. And it actually is the prophetic leadership team up here today. So thank you guys for being here. Bless each other and Merry Christmas. And we'll see some of you on Christmas Eve for our candle lighting service. All right? God bless you.